Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Samson-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title, it's a big book, love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles Debastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole and those women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in the relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How has the week been for you? Well, I don't know where Nicole is.
What was it?
How
was
is the week
Cindy,
been
I'm
for
sorry,
you?
I was chewing.
How has the week been for you?
No, the week actually has not been that bad at all. I'm finally getting over how sick I have been since I came down with that lovely, lovely bronchitis that would not go away. And, you know, that's about it. You know, I've been just, like, working, trying to, like, do some holiday stuff, trying to do my best to, you know, stay within, you know, like, that nice holiday cheer and such like that, so, you know, and such things. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that. And
well,
a little...
Well, it's kind of hard not to because Lisa is, like, such a...
Is she a little Christmas elf?
She's a Christmas freak is what she is.
She loves it. Well, that's
oh,
what we
my
like
God.
To hear.
Like,
she's not a Bah Humbug
like
girl. There's no Bah Humbug coming
all,
out of
not
her?
Not at all. Like, every time, like, I get even close to the radio, Christmas music has got to come on, you know? And it's like, I'm like, and I say to her, I'm like, are you aware that we're listening to the same 10 songs sung by the same 30 artists? You know? Like, it's the same song. Like, just so you know, like, in the last hour that we've been in the car, we've heard I'll Be Home for Christmas 4 times, but she doesn't care. She loves it, so.
Well, I'm glad that she's in that Christmas spirit. And,
yes,
you know,
she is.
Next Thursday, December 20th, we're not going to have a show because I will be on vacation. I'll be in the city. I'm going to be a few days in Manhattan. I'm going to be catching Scarlett Johansson in the play that she's in, the Tennessee Williams play. And so a little bit, you know, time off. And, of course, it gives people time to shop and do what they have to do because it gets a little hectic before Christmas for most people.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I also need to give a little plug that December 15th, the voting for Best Psychic is over. And, of course, for all of the best of Long Island. So anybody who hasn't voted for their favorite, this or that, they can go to the, you know, my website, grantmeahigherlove.com. On the homepage is the page to start to vote. I'm glad it's almost over. A couple more days.
Well, I know that I've been voting, so.
I know, and I'm getting tired of even saying to do it. So it's just the last few days, and we're always happy to end that. Now, we have a lot of callers. Did you see how many callers we have?
Yes, I do. I mean, we've got tons right now. So, as usual, I'm not going to screen the first caller, and we're just going to dive right into the first one. Okay, we're going to go to the 805 area code, and just so that you know that we're speaking to you, the last four digits are 6979. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
We're fine, and who is this calling?
My name's Donna.
Donna, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from California.
Okay, we love our California callers, and we get a lot of them, and we just love it. So I'm glad you've been waiting on a long time now, so you must have something really important on your mind that you need some guidance on. So if you could sort of fill us in a little bit what's on your mind, and we'll do our best to guide you.
Okay, my friend, he's been my friend for 25 years. He's an elderly friend. He's 89. He was a friend of a friend. And I had a misunderstanding with his sister. She thought that I knew people back in Boston, and I don't know them, and she started yelling at me and this and that. And I wanted to know, and I haven't heard from him, but he has been sick with cancer, prostate cancer. But is everything going to, is our relationship going to be fine with him?
Right, and I remember, I think you had called in already. Did you try to contact him again?
I did, nothing.
I know, because it looks like, you know, I got the card with a man who's sort of walking with some crutches and kind of not well.
Oh.
So there's definitely a health issue here, so.
Can I ask you real quick, if I'd already asked that, I didn't know it. Is there a relationship coming in for me?
Yeah, because that's what, I saw him not being well this year, the man that you're talking about, but with you I saw a soulmate coming through.
Oh.
And this is your year 2013, is a year of love for you. He's a very good man. He's very loving, creative, smart, close to your age, could be a tad bit older, but not that much. And it's also a better money year, so try not to worry so much about money.
Right.
And, you know, nothing is bad in your cards other than the fact that, you know, hearing from this man, some of the people are sort of not telling you what's going on. So, because they don't want you to know. So if you could do some investigation of yourself and, you know, trying to figure out what's going on here. But this is your year. 2013 is an absolute, very, very good year for you. So get your radar out there.
A lot of joy.
And, yes, a joyful year, loving year, and, you know, try to do something to start manifesting that soulmate, which means writing down what your ideal soulmate would be like. Be greedy in what you want and be positive. You want it to be strong, sober. You don't want to say, I don't want a drunk. We can't talk in negatives because the universe doesn't hear the not word. So if you say, I don't want a drunk, they're going to kind of hear, I want a drunk. So make sure it's strong and positive comments. And you do a little bit to go out there and expand your friendships and things. And you know, letting go of the man who's older is going to be a sort of a natural process because it looks like now, you know, his health has really taken a turn. So, you know, when you get, you know, a cold or a flu or something at his age, and that's what it looks like, it's a little bit hard to get recover from.
Yes, so, I imagine so. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe send him a card and see what happens. I don't know if he'll even get it, but
I sent a Christmas card.
Okay, good. Because that way, you know, I don't know if his family members or who's ever taking care of him at this point are even going to deliver it to him.
Oh.
So that's part of the problem.
Yeah, I think that's the problem, too.
You know, it's not that you're not sending them and it's not that he's not getting them because you're not sending them. It's because someone's not giving them to him.
Oh, huh. Okay.
So, you know, with elderly people, there's always money involved in this and that. And so sometimes, you know, people who are near people at the end of their lives have their own agendas usually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he has this guy that is in his 50s, I think, and he was trying to make him the executor. You know, he said, oh, please make me the executor of your trust and give me your house and this and that. And who knows what happened to that? I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It looks like there's somebody in there, you know, watching over what they think is there. So don't take it personally that this man is mad at you. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with the people surrounding him.
Yeah. I see what you mean. Yeah. The people there are taking care of him. Well, he's leaving me in the will, too, which is nice of him. Do you see that coming through? I mean, is there going to
be a
problem?
Yeah, that's what I said. There's money in there's a little bit money in the future from that and from a couple other ventures. So money looks promising in the future. So it's really 2013 is a nice year for you. And, you know, just say some prayers for him and, you know, speak to him on a soul plane because he will hear it that you're thinking of him.
Okay.
And, you know, who knows, maybe he'll be able to pick up the phone and call you.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like that, definitely. That would be nice.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for calling in, and have a nice holiday.
Thank you. You too. Thank
You're
you
welcome.
Very much. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Okay, I see that Nicole's been doing her screening. We have Barbara in Arizona.
We have Barbara in Arizona, and basically she was, excuse me, Sydney. She was in court today, and, you know, basically she's looking for a judge to reconsider a motion that, I guess, on a judgment against her, and she wants to find out whether or not this judge is going to be reconsidering for her or whether or not, basically, she's going to have to go through the Court of Appeals and get her answer, you know, much later, 6, 7, 8, 9 months down the line. So let's see what Barbara's cards hold for her, shall we? Hello, you're
on the air.
Hi, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, Nicole. I'm fine.
Okay.
This had to do with a former landlord of mine. I filed the actual lawsuit on August the 8th, and rather than them answering it, they went for a motion to dismiss, and without looking at all my documents, the judge granted the motion to dismiss. And then 2 months later, they went in for summary judgment, and the judge gave them their attorney fees of $750. So on the 3rd of December, which was 10 days ago, they actually granted the judgment. So I had until this coming Monday to file the appeal. So this morning at 9, I filed the appeal, and I also filed a motion to reconsider. And I said, once again, here are the documents that prove that when I turned them into the city of Phoenix, they had not given me a notice not to renew my lease, so it is retaliation. So the girl behind the counter said the judge could rule on it like in a week and a half, 2 weeks. And what we're hoping to do is he'll throw the dismissal away and throw the judgment away, and then we can proceed, you know, with the lawsuit. Otherwise, we'll just keep going on with the judgment, I mean with the appeal, which will take 6 or 7 months from now.
Well, the ultimate outcome looks good here. So, you know, that's the point. The ultimate outcome looks good. It looks like he probably will do what you're hoping for.
Throughout the judgment and tell him to answer.
Right, because I got the death card on that, which means that she's not happy with what was ruled on anyway.
Well, actually, what happened, they had a stupid pro temp there instead of the real judge.
Okay, what happens is, by the way, that happened to me in the small claims court once, and they're only attorneys. They're not paid very well, by the way. They're
right.
Paid, you know, not much money. They have no patience. They do it as quickly as possible. They just rule whatever way they want to, but those are almost always just have to be appealed. I don't know how it is in Arizona, but in New York, you get an instant appeal if you don't like that. So
right.
I think most of the time, because they're only lawyers, they're not really judges, they oftentimes rule entirely wrong. They're not even ruling on, like, legitimate things.
Right.
They just hope that most people won't bother to appeal because it's usually not that much money involved. But
right.
Anybody who wants to do it, they usually put it through automatically. It's one of those things where people listening know that small claims courts, that's how they work. They try to have the cheaper person first, and then, you know, the cases that people are going to fight harder, they actually go to the judge.
Right.
So it looks very promising here for you. Because
so
there's something in the ruling entirely wrong, so I can't understand.
You think I'll get an answer in the next 3 weeks saying they're going to grant and throw the dismissal out?
Yeah, it looks very much like that. So,
like three weeks in or something?
3 or 4 weeks by now.
All right,
yeah,
thank
so
you very much. Have a
good luck
very
to you and happy holiday, Barbara.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, Nicole, you've been busy, girl.
I have to, well, you know, you're completely on tonight right now, Cindy, because you are knocking through my callers like anything.
Well, because, you know, I know we have no show next week, so I want to, like, answer as many people as I
absolutely.
Can.
Absolutely. Hey,
you know,
I hear you. I hear
if
you.
You notice, that's my schedule. Usually when I have a day off, that means the next day I have 12 times more people to read.
Of
so
course.
It's not really.
That's always the way that it goes. All right. So we're going to cruise. Actually, we're going to come back from Arizona. We're going to go to New York right now. We're going to speak to Jillian. And basically, she wants to know when she's getting her next relationship. Is Santa Claus going to bring her something good this Christmas? Let's see.
Okay.
Hello,
good
Jillian.
Question.
You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jill. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. So you want to know a little bit about your love life this year?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see what we have here. Well, I hope you would like a husband.
Yeah.
I did get the husband card here, so I didn't just get a nice lover, booty call guy. I got, you know, the real deal here. Looks like loyal man is very important to you, and this is a loyal man. Are you trusting a little bit of divine guidance that you're getting right now that love is coming? Because I hope you're feeling that it's near.
Yes.
Because the universe usually prepares us a little bit for a love that's coming. Let's us know, you know, hang in there. Did you close up the last one entirely, the last relationship?
Yeah, he keeps calling and stuff, but I don't really pay much attention to him.
Okay, good, because we need to sort of totally close the door, and then the universe brings us someone else. He thinks you're going to, you know, get back with him, or that a moment of weakness, particularly around the holiday times, maybe you don't want to be alone. You know, they can kind of wheedle their way back in.
Mm-mm. No, so, I have no feelings for him whatsoever, so I can't do it.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Okay. This other man that's coming is kind of go about your business, go about your life. He'll be brought to you. Money looks pretty good this year. A little bit of learning something new this year that will actually help you make some money in the future. But ultimately, it's a very happy family life here. You know, the children and marriage. You just have to hang in there a little. I know it feels a little depressing while we wait for love. But if we stay too long in certain relationships, sometimes it just alters the pattern of things. How long were you with the last guy?
Like 8 or 9 months.
Okay, good. So you didn't keep it there too long. Good girl. You know, if you had stayed like 2 years, that might have altered, because there is a soulmate been circling near you for a while. So close the door on your ex. You know you're not fixing him. You figured that out.
Fixing him?
Yeah, you know,
oh,
he's
no.
not. Okay. He's not fixable, that one.
No, I'm not trying.
Good. And trust your own psychic abilities. You have very good psychic abilities, your intuition. Do you trust it?
Yes.
Okay, because it's right on target. But this is your year. It's not like, you know, tomorrow the love coming. It really is probably a little bit into the new year. It could even be springtime. I'm not saying it's not going to be before then, but don't get discouraged if it doesn't happen right away, because he definitely is nearby. So are you preparing your life? Are you making space for him to come into it? And, you know, that means you have to have time for love. Do you have time for love?
Oh, yeah. I have plenty of time. Yeah, it's what I've wanted, and I know that's why I can't be with this guy, because I, you know, as much as I can do whatever I want with him, and, you know, I choose not to, because I'm just not feeling it. I want to move on and have something that I want, which is
right.
And
it's hard
children.
And it's hard to walk away from like a relationship sometimes, because most women believe anything is better than nothing. Unfortunately. But if we feel that way, and so many women won't let go of a bad relationship because they're, any men are the same way oftentimes. They'll just hang in there. Well, you know, if something better comes along, then I'll leave it. Sometimes the universe says, no, I need you to stand on your own 2 feet. And until you can do that, I'm not going to bring you somebody else, because then you're just going to take that love and destroy it as well, because, or allow that person to not treat you well. So it's really learning to stand on our own 2 feet is one of the first steps toward getting that higher love and keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
So walking away from a relationship is an important step, and you've done that.
Yeah, and it's kind of like it was very easy. He kind of like had to go somewhere, and I said, well, I guess that's it. So,
the universe cooperated.
Yeah. I was like, you know, could you please get rid of him? And he just left. I was like, okay, well, that was easy.
Well, good. And it was ended without drama and trauma, which is nice.
Yeah, it was kind of easy. And I want to know, the next guy, be older or younger than me?
I don't know how old you are, so there's cards that...
I'm 35.
Okay. He's probably very close to your age. He's under the age of 40, but he's mature.
Okay.
You know, he's not immature. And, you know, just because people are 35 doesn't mean they're grown-ups. I hope you're realizing that now.
I know. It's true.
He's a mature man. He's also a man who's successful in his career. He looks very business-oriented, the career here. So, you know, keep your eyes open even when you're at work or just wherever you're going. So, you know, even if you're just going out for, you know, grab a bite for lunch, pay attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and thank you for sharing your little story with us, and have a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, Nicole. We're in going back to California.
We are going back over to California right now, back to the West Coast, and we are going to speak to Diane. And Diane she was absolutely a wonderful person to speak to today because she's just very, very excited. Okay, she says that she has moved on and she feels great. And now she wants to know, when is she going to get lucky and when is she going to see someone new come into her life? So I'm loving all these love questions. So let's see what Diane in California has to say, shall we?
Absolutely.
Hello, Diane. You're on the air.
Hello, Love Doctor. I'm so happy. I'm so happy I'm on your show.
Didn't I tell you?
Now with you, Diane, you're cute. You have such cute energy. I feel like I'm Frasier, you know.
Oh,
and
that's a good part. You deserve to be. That's how
I look at you.
I
feel like Frasier, and I'm loving it. And I was watching that show recently, having forgotten that that's what he did, you know, for a living. So I kind of got a kick out of it. And
oh, adorable. You relate. That's why you are whatever you think, right?
Exactly. And I actually, you know, used to get a kick out of watching him on the air. So, you know, we're laughing now because most radio shows are done over the telephone now. Only once have I actually done it like he did in the studio. So, you know, those days are kind of gone for most radio shows. No matter what radio show you do anywhere, it's done via the telephone for the most part. So it's kind of a different world that way.
I didn't know that. Thank you for sharing.
I know, and I said the one time I actually did it on public radio with the whole microphones and everything, I said, hey, this is cool. Now, Diane, you are a woman who is just about to open the thing called the world. It's a 5-year period in which anything you want is yours. So you're right that you've kind of closed doors on one chapter of your life, and you're just kind of waiting for the next doors to open. And they're just about to open. You've totally closed the door on your ex, the last relationship, correct?
Oh, it's scary how I can't even believe I still like him. I mean, there's no attraction at all. In fact, it's the opposite. I'm like repulsed. I can't even, you know, it's just so over. Thank God. 100%. I mean, it's not even a question. I think it's
good,
a mutual breakup.
It's the residual sometimes, you know, the keeping one foot in the past that sometimes keeps us from moving forward. A total closing of a door is one of the best things we could do. Like, it's when we finally say to the universe, I had enough of that. And the universe goes, okay, so we'll bring you something better. But until we really close that door, now, you know, for most people, they like the devil they know. So that's not as easy as you think. So, you know, a clean break is always the universe's way of saying to us, okay, we can change your life for the better on a dime, but we expect you to close a door. And since you've done that, he's a very nice man. The card that came up is one of the nicest men in the deck. He's a giver. He's not a taker. He's a man who's, you know, had his share of relationships, hasn't always been the best picker of partners either. So the two of you have something in common that way. But he's finally a little older, a little wiser, and a little bit more realizing, I don't want somebody who comes with a lot of emotional baggage. And I think you feel the same way. You want someone who's like, it doesn't matter if people have baggage. We just ask that they carry their own. I'm not carrying yours and mine. So he's one of those kind of people who, you know, he's a very good man. He's looking for a committed relationship. Are you looking for a committed relationship?
I would hope I am. I mean, I always thought I was.
Yeah, and again, sometimes people are what I call closet commitment phobics. Anybody who's listened to this show enough begins to know the little buzzwords that I use quite often. But if we've been hurt in life, sometimes we're not a classic commitment phobic. We're not saying, I don't want love, and you wonder what people aren't hearing when a man says, I'm not looking for love. You know how many clients I have come and saying, the man's not looking for love. Oh, but you've been staying with him for a year? Why? And he told you he doesn't want what you're selling. But you're more of, you want it, but you're a little afraid. There's a little bit of fear in this picture. And it could just be because you're afraid of getting to something you can't get out of. But you just proved that you can end a relationship with not too much drama and trauma and close the door. So that was a good sign for you. But really, this man is really looking for, you know, someone who's wants, you know, passion but no drama. He's not a drama king by any means.
Right. Have I met him at all, or is he in my neighborhood at all? Or
I don't think you've encountered this man, although he's circling pretty close to you. You might have briefly glanced at each other, or when you meet him, you're going to see how you could have met him already. But I don't think he's somebody you know, because this is a person that when you meet him, you're going to feel, like, really connected to.
Good, good. And he'll be available?
He's available. Now, that's another thing.
Perfect.
Now, I love the word, Diane, you're, like, really right on target, because sometimes women go, who are closet commitment phobics, go after men who are married. They're saying they're not going after married men, but, you know, if there's three in a row that's been married, I'm like, did it ever occur to you go after men who can't commit to you? Because this way you could say, well, it's not my fault. They said they were going to leave their wives and they didn't. It is people's fault if they keep pursuing people who really don't want commitment. So, you know, he is a person who is very much looking for that relationship. And, of course, you know, you're just about ready for that. Were you ever married before?
Only twice.
Only twice. Okay, that's where only twice is a very good answer. But if we've married and I'm not even saying they're the wrong people. They just weren't meant to last forever, and that's okay. But sometimes if we've been hurt in love, if we've fallen for the princes that become the beast, and we don't know how we keep coming up with these princes that become the beast, we have to, you know, realize that we're different now. We've learned. We have to trust our gut. If our gut tells us something's not kosher with the situation, it usually isn't. You're not the same person that you were in the past. Your judgment's a lot better. Do you trust your intuition if it tells you, this guy's telling me he's looking for a lasting relationship, but he's never available on weekends, and, you know, I've never met his friends and family. That's usually somebody with something to hide. So
100%, yes.
So trust your gut. If somebody's telling you something, that doesn't mean it's truthful. That's the one thing my main mission till I die is to teach people. People lying, they lie a lot. And
wow.
Just because they're telling you what you want to hear doesn't mean it's truthful. So if our gut tells you, you know, he's saying this, but I'm hearing something else, hear the something else. And, you know, don't think, well, he says everything I want to hear. Well, you know, players are good at that. They listen to what we say. And when somebody doesn't cheat, somebody's loyal, want a relationship, they sure, tell you what you want to hear. You know, they have us for 3 months.
But the actions don't match. Right.
Right.
It's the actions that have to match the words. I get that one. I know. Absolutely, you're right on.
So that's why I said you're not the same person you were. And, of course,
that's
fun.
I agree with that.
You know, even going on a Match.com, which, you know, I'm not a big fan of those, only because...
You know, I'm not either. I tried it twice. I met, and they were both deceitful and not anything that they claimed they were. So I thought... You know, I do much better in person. I can get the vibe right away.
Right. And also, though, if you go on one of those match.coms, if you go with, like, a sense of adventure and you can't make this stuff up, you can trust your judgment and test it, like, 40 times in 1 month. Like, man, I thought
clever.
That one was a liar, and he was. And it's kind of fun because you say, hey, I got it in 5 minutes, in 5 dates. Not 20 years. So there is a place for that, and there are some good people on there. So unfortunately, the good people tend to leave. And that's why it's not something I totally rule out, but I always tell people, you know, meet the person sooner than later, because, you know, some people can do a wonderful thing, you know, pretending who they are for a long time. You know, meet them, you know, in a public place,
oh,
get
right
to know
away.
Them.
Correct. Right. That's
rather
what I
than,
did the two times. I couldn't wait to go back and forth. I, you know, within three conversations, I said, we have to meet. Right. Because I didn't trust them. And both times, they were deceitful and liars, and I, bye-bye.
And that's a good thing. So, you know, that
you're
you
right.
found that
I
out. It's
out
not a
them.
Bad thing. Three
right.
dates is, three conversations is amazingly quick time. It didn't take you 10 years. I mean, the problem with the princes that become the beasts is it's 10 years before we kind of
right.
get it. Ding, ding, ding. The person, you've forgiven them like 7 gazillion times, and they never change. Like, that's, you know, taking some responsibility that maybe we're too forgiving, maybe we were too naive, and, you know, just trusting your gut, you know, and have a little fun out in the dating world. It's not, you know, every date isn't an execution. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And
sure.
there's also sometimes you can have a fabulous first date, and this is the real painful part of commitment phobics. The date could have been perfect, and you know it, and your heart knows it, and he doesn't call. And then, you know, women will start saying, well, what was wrong with me? Did I say something wrong? No, everything was perfect, and you scared the hell out of him, and he ran. But it's better he runs the first date than a year later. So
absolutely. Yeah. Can I just give one man's name that's just
sure, absolutely,
that
if you don't
I
mind.
I wonder that if it could go anywhere. His name's Jeff. Does that resonate to be a future?
Jeff is a good man. Jeff is a commitment phobic. So Jeff is one of the ones that if you're interested in him, you know, let him know and let it sort of play itself out. I'm not saying that if he doesn't, you know, come forward. He's one of the people that cares about you and likes you, but coming forward with could be another story. So, you know, rather than, you know, people just sometimes in their minds sort of build up something for a long time, it's sort of
sure.
better from the beginning. If, you know, there's a connection, see what's there. And, you know, it could play itself out quickly enough that you could move on, or it gives him an opportunity. It would be a good match if he wasn't so afraid. But, you know, that's what
yeah,
I said.
Yeah, that's how I feel about everything you said. Like you knew, you're really good. You're
well,
really
thank
good.
You. It's
yeah,
kind
it.
Of,
yeah.
it's the people who have, you know, crossed over often give a lot of information about people. And there's someone, yeah, I'm not sure if it's Jack's father, but it's a nice man that knows him and says, you'd be a perfect match. That doesn't mean Jack isn't going to run. So,
you give me goosebumps.
So what I want you to know is he wouldn't be rejecting you, Diane. He'd be rejecting the higher love you're offering him. And that's different than rejecting you. He knows you're the best thing that's been brought to him, but maybe he's not healed enough. And people's real fear is loving somebody who could die in them. And that is a massive fear in human beings. So if they have a soulmate brought to them, their fear just kicks in there and they just say, I can't do this. It's just too much for me. So, you know, kind of pursue it because he is brought in alignment as a soulmate. And whether he can step up to the plate is not really the issue. It's just seeing what's there and then closing that door and let them bring you somebody else.
I love it, and he could have, I love it. Cindy, I love you so much. Thank you for so
And I love
much
you, too,
on.
And thank you for calling into your show, and please let us know what happens with Jack.
Okay. I
this will be as the world you. Turns.
Thank you for such a good time. You're so lovely.
Thank
love
you.
My-
now, Nicole, who said there's no soap operas left? We can make this one. The continuing sagas.
Absolutely.
Now, I see you've
right.
done some other screening. Fill
yes,
me
we
in.
Have. Okay, well, right now we're going to go back over to Arizona, Cindy, and we're going to speak to Gidget.
Oh, that's my favorite name. And I just
Is
heard
it?
Sally Field speaking about the Lincoln movie, and they were talking about her Gidget dates.
Oh,
I wish
God.
My name were Gidget. I wanted to be Gidget. She can't be Gidget. I'm Gidget.
Well, you can change your name still.
Okay, and also that
there,
girl.
There you go. Actually, no, go Gidget over that girl. All right. We're going to speak to Gidget right now. Let's see where she is. Hello, Gidget. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. And, boy, we love that name, Gidget. You have fun with it?
Yeah. I get teased a lot.
But you know what? They're only teasing because they're envious, because Gidget was just like the girl. She was just the thing. And, of course, with you, the question of asking if love is soon enough, and we love those questions. We have a new year opening up, and the tarot usually deals with what you can expect in the upcoming year. If it's near a birthday, it would deal with that too. But this is dealing with 2013 for you, and it's a very peaceful year for you. It's a good year here. You tended to not be the best picker of men. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're a nice person, and you wonder, how can a nice girl like me keep getting fooled? You're a little bit too tolerant. It's characteristic of older souls. People have been around the planet a lot to actually be too good and thinking that everybody thinks like them. For you, understand that you've just about ready to have a soulmate come be brought to you. And, you know, have you learned the lessons from your past relationships?
I believe so.
Right, because if we don't learn them, the God keeps bringing us the same person in disguise. It looks different, but it's the same lessons.
Right.
And mainly it's that people lie, and they lie a lot, and that you can't fix people. So
exactly.
Did you get that fixing out of your system?
I think so. Yeah.
Okay,
yep.
Good. Because this is a nice man. He's the King of Wands is the card that came up. That's like my favorite guy in the deck because he's got his act together. He's a man who, you know, knows what he wants, gets what he wants, cherishes when love is brought to him. He will like that you are a woman who's been standing on her own two feet. He'll like some of your independence, so he isn't going to try to be the boss over you, which isn't that lovely. And he's also not a boy. You're not going to be mommy to a bad boy. He's a man. So right there are some of the things I think you've been sending out to the universe. And, you know, he's very good. There's a little bit of anxiety in your picture. Do you feel that you're prone to anxiety or you're experiencing it now?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And anxiety is a bit of a dark angel. When our angels of light are telling us, you know, you don't see things that are in front of your face. So I have to give you anxiety so that you pay attention. The anxiety is going to lessen in this year. He's not a man who tells you one thing and does another. He is who he says he is. And I think that's what you've been asking for. And he's, you know, a successful man in terms of he's happy with what he does for a living. And, you know, that's important for you, and he's really a great guy. So keep your eyes open. Again, we have to stress you have to do something to manifest love. Are you doing anything to find anybody?
Well, not really, other than just like thinking it and putting it out there. I'm just
okay.
Kinda,
now picture the universe needs a little help from us. They can't airdrop our soulmates into our, you know, couch while we're watching TV. And it would be lovely if they could, and if I could, I'd just drop one right next to you right now. But it's sort of expanding your world, and I say this almost every radio show, just making some new friends. I know we're tired, we work, you know, who wants to get dressed and go back out again? But it's picking some events that, you know, don't have to be expensive. It could even be signing up for an adult education course. Not so much to meet a man, but to meet some new friends. And through him, through them, you could meet him. It's just expanding your friendship world actually helps manifest love. And, you know, it's getting outside of our comfort zone a bit. But it has
right.
to be something you're interested in. You can't, if you're not into Star Trek, don't go to a Trekkie convention. You know, you're going to, you know, there's not going to be anybody there you're going to want as a friend or, as, you know, whatever. If you love Star Trek, go to the convention. It's something that you would want to learn or do anyway. In terms of single events, you know, I've done a lot of lectures on the single events. I actually can't stand those places. I actually, have, you know, sometimes don't even want to give the lecture because, you know, everybody's got like sitting there like, oh, this is do or die here. and they have this, like, bad energy surrounding them, instead of, like, hey, it's a singles event. You don't have to meet a guy here. You can meet a new woman friend, and kind of talking to the people there and meeting new people. And, you know, some of the women come in packs. You know, what man's going to infiltrate a pack? You know, come in two maybe, but, you know, five women standing there, no man's brave enough to go into that pack. But single events can be a place. But keep in mind, players go there. You know, go with your eyes open. But it doesn't mean that good people don't go to these events. The problem is they, you know, after first maybe two of them, they say, oh, boy, everybody's, you know, crazy here. They don't go back, the good people. So sometimes the good people just need to keep infiltrating these things.
Right.
And
I think
they'll meet.
I'm sorry.
And what was that?
I think what I'll do is take your advice and go do something that I'd like. And
exactly. And it doesn't have to, you know, it could be even the library. Sometimes they have an author coming to talk about a book. Now, if you're interested in that kind of a book, go there. There'll be people who are, you know, have like-minded or love-minded people. It's just fun. It's a nice, and obviously you could meet an older woman. You befriend her. It could be her son. It could be her neighbor. It doesn't mean, you know, it has to be someone who's exactly your type for a friend. It's just expanding our world. And, you know, I would have never met my current husband if I hadn't gone to a party in the Hamptons that I was invited to. And I could have brought somebody with me, friends, but I said, oh, I'm going to have to babysit for them. They don't whine. They don't like the people. They don't like. I just go by myself. I don't want to babysit. And,
right.
You know, I met my, and I walked in. I was a little bit nervous because it was really rich people. And I said, oh, I hope I'm dressed okay. And this woman, Judy, was walking with her husband, Michael. And Judy said, oh, I love your shoes. Love your dress. And I said, I love this woman. Thank you. And we became friends, and she invited me to stay in her home in East Hampton. And my current husband, TJ, was friends with them. And although I was circling in that world for 2 years, it wasn't until I said, I'm ready for a soulmate who's ready to commit, that I met him the next day. So,
wow.
Again, it's expanding a friendship circle, and through that circle of friends being brought in alignment. And it takes time. I mean, you can actually track the how you meet these people, the step you took, the next step, and the next step. But if you don't take the steps outside of your home, it's harder. You know, so really just getting out there. And it doesn't even mean you're going to meet them at the event. The universe will say, okay, she made her efforts. Now we can meet her right while she's going to the dentist. She's sitting next door. You know, it's just that the universe needs us to take a step forward, because it shows the universe you're serious about wanting love. Otherwise, if you say you want it and you don't take the steps, it's like all the people who say, oh, I'm a writer, but they don't write. Writers write. They don't talk about writing. They write. So at the end of 5 years, you could say you're a writer every day. There's no book at the end of 5 years. You have to sit down and write. So it's you taking that first step. If you want love, you can't just say you want it. You have to take steps toward getting it and doing something about it. Otherwise, the universe doesn't take us seriously.
Right. I agree.
And, of course, he is coming, so I'm not worried about you. You're going to find him.
Yay. Well, thank you so much.
And who's that one we hear in the background?
I'm trying to mute it. It's just my daughter.
It's just beautiful. Don't mute her. She sounds beautiful. And the reason that I wanted to hear it is for her sake, you're being brought a soulmate, whether you're ready or not, because she needs to see that love doesn't just start out good and then it stinks. She needs to see love starts out good and it stays that way. So that beautiful voice in the background is the one who's calling your soulmate stronger than you are.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm glad I heard her voice. She sounds beautiful.
You're awesome. Thank you. And thank Nicole.
We love Nicole, too. Nicole's the best.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
And
have
you,
a wonderful new year.
Thank you. You, too. Can you keep me on hold?
Of course.
Thank you.
Okay, we have
bye-bye.
Rebecca.
Bye.
Using. I love these names tonight. I love the name Rebecca,
I know,
too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now we're going to cruise to North Carolina, and we are going to speak to Rebecca. And she was in a long-term relationship, Cindy, and they've been apart now for about 8 months or so. And they've talked, but they have not seen each other in that time. And she wants to know, is she going to be seeing him soon? Is he going to come back? Or what's the deal with this mystery man that has been gone for 8 months?
Okay, Rebecca.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hey.
thanks for calling us. And, you know, you were very divinely guided to our show, my dear, because you need some answers here. Now, were you a relationship? I just need some, like, little pointers. And I know everybody says I'm a psychic. I should know everything. And I said, you burn out my energy getting me to think things that you could just tell me the answer for. Now, were you in a relationship and then he left?
Yeah, we were together for 9 years, yeah.
Okay, because relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. You're almost going to hit the 10-year mark pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe is saying, he's got to shit or get off the pot. And, you know, he's scared. The man is scared.
Yeah.
And commitment phobics are otherwise nice people that do something cruel. Just when they should maybe take it to the next level, they run. They pull what's called a geographic. And that's what he did. He pulled a geographic. And he's far away. Now, I'm sure he's being loving long distance. Is that what's happening?
Well, at one point he did want to see me, but I wasn't ready. And then, but we, you know, still talk. He's close. I mean, we're close. We just can't, if we're not going to be together, we can't see each other because the intensity, like it just, it wouldn't work.
Okay, and he's not long distance, he's just somebody you're not seeing?
Yeah, yeah, because if we saw each other, the attraction is just too much.
And what keeps you from bringing it to the next level? If the attraction is too much, that's a good thing, that's not a bad thing. It looks
scared.
Like you're two closet commitment phobics, and you're sort of moving sideways in this relationship, but moving it forward is part of the problem. It's like he's scared, she's scared. You know, he can come forward when you're scared. When you're ready, he runs. It's sort of, you know, he's scared, she's scared. You would have to be willing to take a chance now and tell him, I'm looking for a committed relationship and 2 feet in here now. I don't want to be just friends. I don't want to just talk. I want that. He might say, I'm not ready for it, and you say, fine. Then you would be asked to take 2 feet completely out, no talking, no communication. He would have to fear losing you more than loving you. Right now, he's never lost you. He always still has you. You know, he's not doing the suffering that the loss of a soulmate love feels like. To lose a soulmate feels like a death. And the mourning process.
Tell me about it.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying. What you guys are doing is a slow death. It's like nobody wants to pull the plug on this damn thing. And it's torturous, but if you were to actually take the 2 feet out, it would give him an opportunity to either get some therapy, think about what he wants. He's not being totally honest with you. There is somebody else in the picture here. Do you know about that?
Yeah.
Okay,
I thought she was kind of getting out, though.
Okay. And again, he's a man who can't stand on his own 2 feet without somebody. And
yeah.
When people can't do that, love always comes from good to toxic. He has a lot of anger issues, by the way, and he vents them with her. Yeah, it's not you. It wasn't a soulmate. You guys started out as soulmates. There's that heart, soul, mind, body connection here. But without commitment to that love and commitment to healing, it didn't stay soulmate. And it was getting pretty toxic. And soulmates sometimes would rather separate than keep it at that toxic note.
Mm-hmm.
But she's a very narcissistic wrong. Any woman's interchangeable with another. And, you know, it's not working with her, but he's still got 1 foot with her. They're really toxic love with an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never abandon each other. The universe brought
me and him.
No, her and him. With you, you guys are getting on that level too. Any love can get to that toxic moment, and toxic love is an addiction. It's not good for us, and we go back for more. And God teaches us to not judge other people's addictions, whether we've judged an alcoholic or a heroin addict, because this is pretty toxic. Whatever he touches is turning toxic at this point. And, you know, for you, you're going, you know, you're going back to him just when you need a fix or speaking to him, and then you're mad at yourself and you go back in your corner and then you go back to him until he's, you know, really free of her. And as a sisterhood of women, God would ask us, please stop allowing men to have their cake and eat it too. If he's chosen her, whether it's a low level of love and she's bad for him, that's not your call. He's with another woman. And it's your call to say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. I'm taking 2 feet out of here.
We're not. It's not. We're not together at all.
Right. And again,
and not talking like that.
Much. But you still talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we talk sometimes and communicate.
So he's not really your friend. Are you aware of that? Friends don't break our heart. This man has broken your heart. And there's two different ladders of love. There's a ladder of romantic love, and there's a ladder of soulmate friendship. You can't be on one when you still want to be on the other, because they're not really interchangeable ladders. And for him, he's not playing fair with you. He's keeping you from being able to move on. Because, you know, as long as there's the hope that there's, you know, still some hope this can be fixed, but you are hitting the 10-year mark. At this point, you know, God's asking you to either fix it or leave it. You know, if the universe brought you another soulmate, how is it going to affect you when 3 months later this man comes back and says, now I'm ready? It could really, you know, mess up everything with another soulmate. It's giving him an opportunity to come forward. Do you want him to come back to you?
Yes.
All right. Being karmically correct.
Yes.
And, you know, people could take or accept what I say, but Nicole knows the thousands of people that kind of have listened to the advice. It works 2 feet in a relationship or 2 feet out. You give him the choice. I want you. I love you. And I want you 2 feet in here and commitment to this love, commitment to healing, or I want 2 feet out of here. I can't do this. It's your choice. I'm giving you the choice. And if he says, well, I'm not ready, you have to accept that. And you say, okay, then 2 feet out. And when he calls or texts, you just don't answer. And finally, when you do get around a few months later, you say, what's your intention? Is it to stick 2 feet in? If not, don't call me. And it takes a lot of courage to do that, and it takes you overcoming your own fears of abandonment, because this toxic love, you feel like no matter what, he's always going to be here. And, you know, standing on our own 2 feet without a man isn't easy. But he's an emotional cripple at some level. And, you know, he loves you. And, you know, karmically correct answer from him would be either to stick 2 feet in or to say, look, I love you more than I'll probably love anybody. But I'm too messed up and I can't do this. So I'm taking 2 feet out and I wish you well. That would put your heart at ease. At least you'd hear how he truly felt. And you'd say, okay, and move on. But he's not allowing you to move on. And that's something that, you know, maybe you have your own fears of love and you might want to examine some of those. You know, people who
he did leave. You know, I mean, it's been 8.5 months. We have not seen each other. Like, he stepped out.
But that's only
completely.
Because he's got somebody else there. And, you know, when that burns itself out, he may, you know, come back or want to come back. But if he does and you're still there, saying the 2 feet in or 2 feet out is very important. And
yeah.
And, you know, ultimately we get the level of love that we want. It may not be what we need and it may not be what our soul wants, but we get the level of love we want. You know, from the beginning, if people call the shots and they begin to say, if you want to be with me, be with only me. I've never given men choices to do anything else but that. I don't do the wiggle thing. I wrote my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, because I know what it is to fall in love with a commitment phobic. You're not changing those people. And, you know, you can change yourself and change your tolerance for that. But if you want a higher love and you want a committed love, then that will come to you. But if you're still undecided, this man will jerk you around for 10 more years. Commitment phobics can do it forever. Nicole and I have a lot of clients calling in here that they've had a soulmate they met 40 years ago, but it didn't work out. Now they've reconnected in, you know, Facebook, and he's still running. He's like 60 years old now. I mean, at what point do runners stop running? So Facebook has proven our theory. I mean, could you imagine you get another chance and now you don't know if you want it? It just is one of those things that for you, love is on the horizon, whether it's with this man or somebody else, is more determined by closing this up and moving forward. But he likes to know that he still has you.
Yeah.
You know, just when he, you know, he's not sure, he calls you up and he hears, oh, she still misses me. Okay, I can stall this another couple of months with this other one. And, you know, he's a little bit of a judgmental man. Are you aware of that?
No. Mm-mm.
Because, you know, he's in some ways with this woman because he has some issues he has to solve because he's judged, you know, some other people in his life. And there's a lot of lessons he should have learned from that relationship. I'm not sure if he learned the right ones.
From the relationship
that he's in now that's almost on its way out.
Yeah.
So, you know, those relationships, narcissistic rung, pretty much play out in 8 or 9 months is about the maximum for that.
Yeah.
But, again, if he comes back to you now, just be a little firmer. He doesn't want to hurt you, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think he cares about you enough not to break your heart again. And that's why if he is going to come back, he's getting his own divine guidance saying, you better come back with full intention of healing and not to hurt her again. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes they don't come back, soulmates, because they just, you know, you're a nice woman. He has anger issues. She's not a very nice person. It's easy to, you know, be mean to people who aren't nice. It's a hell of a lot harder to be mean to a nice person. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
So, you know, until he deals with his anger issues, have you ever seen him angry?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Until he deals with that anger, you know, it's hard to ever heal relationships because people have learned that love means I get to be abusive of you and you have to take my crap. So, you know, he's got to sort of get a new philosophy of love. Love doesn't mean dump on me. And that's why be a little bit firmer with him. It's supposed to play out very soon, one way or the other.
So you
and then,
see it happening.
Yeah, it's sooner. It's probably in the next 2 to 3 months. It's all going to sort of play itself out.
Yeah.
And it would be better if you could just close that door. Again, the universe isn't going to bring you another soulmate so that you could rip out that soulmate's heart because you're going back with this other guy because he's telling you everything you want to hear. And as soon as you go back, it's back to the commitment phobia thing. So, you know, that's why, you know, if you really want a soulmate, pray for that soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you and commit to healing, and pray to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back. If it's the man from the past, so be it. If it's someone new, let the universe bring that as well.
Okay.
And it takes it outside of your hands here. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you want a soulmate, which one? Yep. Thy will be done, and we'll see.
Okay,
and it always
we'll
works,
trust,
that prayer.
You know?
Well, good luck to you. We're just about at the end of our show, and I would
thank
like
you.
Nicole, thank you for calling in, and let us know what happens, Rebecca. We like to hear what happens, and we'll always be here for you on Thursday nights.
Okay, thank you.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Happy holidays.
Oh, thank you so much. Now, Nicole, do you have a shout-out, my dear?
You know what? I'm going to shout-out to all of our listeners who, you know, just hang in there with us and call back week after week. You know, I'm loving the fact that at the end of this, you know, lovely 2012 year, that everybody's, you know, asking their love questions and looking to get their love lives, you know, on track, you know, to bring in an even better 2013. So, you know, my shout out is to our listeners who support us day in, you know, week in, week out. And it's really, really great to see everybody, you know, popping back. So thank you guys for listening.
Right. And everybody, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. And we'll
happy
see you
holidays.
On December 27th. Bye, Nicole. Merry Christmas.
Bye, Cindy. Merry Christmas.
Bye.